Good morning. It's so good to be with you. Really, it is. And because this is my community, I mean, I hope it's not strange that I'm here on a Sunday morning, because I'm often here on a Sunday morning as just sitting in the pew and listening and taking in what God is going to speak to me that day. So thank you, George and Marg. I wasn't too much trouble, I don't think. Yeah, I was. I probably was. I was challenging. I think I like to challenge the process a lot of times, and it's just part of who I am. And so I'm pleased to be here with you this morning. And so the flight plan this morning is we're going to. I don't know if this can go up on here. Yeah, we're going to talk through some mission stuff. So Mission Right Next Door is the title this morning, and I'm going to, you know, go through kind of my thought process about mission, because it's certainly changed, and we're going to get into that in a minute. And then I did bring my colleagues with me. There's four of us now. And so you will see my three colleagues, not live and in person, but you will see them on the screen in a little bit. And then we'll wrap up, and I'll pray for us, and that's that. Sound like a decent way to spend the morning, maybe? Yeah? Excellent. And it is interactive, so I want to know that you're actually in the pews listening to me. You can just throw out an amen if you're not listening, and then I'll be like, yeah, that, you know, feels really good. So this morning, because it's mission, I want to acknowledge something. I often come to the 9:15 service because I am a huge fan of intergenerational ministry. I think it's super important. And so George has said, I've been with YFC for 28 years, which blows my mind. God has a sense of humor, doesn't he? And there are some of you in this room who have been serving Jesus longer than that, and in fact, probably longer than I've been alive. So I am humbled to talk to you this morning, because I know you've been doing this a whole lot longer than I've been doing it. And I applaud you, and I want to learn from you. And so that's why I think intergenerational ministry is so important. And it's important for us as a church family to be together as often as we can. So that's my plug for that. So Mission Right Next Door. When you hear mission, what do you think of? This is the interactive. Going abroad. Third world countries. Yep. Anything else? Right. Nigeria. I remember that. Yeah. I remember hearing about Haiti too, Mabel. We heard a lot about Haiti as well. Anything else? Mission trips? Yeah, for sure. So the reason I ask this question is because I think over the years, mission has really changed. And certainly when I was growing up in Sunday school and hearing about these missionaries and hearing about some of the work that they were doing overseas, it was always overseas. And so I got to youth, and I remember claiming one time in front of my youth leader, I'm never going to be a missionary. And he laughed at me and very wisely commented, be careful what you say. So that's why I know God has a sense of humor, because, like, really, 28 years, I can't even believe it. But I think our idea of mission has changed over the years. You know, the old mission mentality, and certainly even when I went and did my year at Bible College, at Emmanuel Bible College, I had to take a missions course, And the idea of mission was you go to a far-off place, you're often isolated, there may be a language barrier, you give up all the comforts of home, and you share the gospel with the people that you're living with. And that's exactly the reason why I claimed I would never be a missionary. Because for me, that didn't appeal to me. Traveling appeals, but traveling around the world, foreign language, unfamiliar, isolation, none of that appealed to me as a person. And even, like I said, in the year of Bible college that I did, that's certainly what they talked about when they talked about mission. So it wasn't long after I got out of Bible college that I was actually hired by Youth for Christ. And I went a little bit kicking and screaming to that as well. I had a pre-interview with the man who has been my boss for 28 years. And I left the interview and I went home, and Jamie and I were engaged at the time, and he asked how it went, and I said, there's no way I'm doing that. They want me to do campus life. I know what campus life is. I'm not doing that. And he encouraged me, just fill out the application, see what happens. And so I did. So I think our new mission mentality, though, now is it can be done anywhere, and it should be done anywhere and everywhere. It's not always foreign, as I can attest to, because I was born and raised in Stratford, Ontario, and in fact graduated from the high school I work in. We're all missionaries. We're all missionaries. And I know you know that. I can hear you out there. And everybody does it differently. And I applaud those who do mission as a vocation. It's been challenging over the years. And it would be super challenging for me to have to sort of shrink into that old mission mentality and go out to that mission field. But my mission field is right next door. It's in my backyard. It's at the high school. It's my neighbors. It's everyone that I cross paths with, right? So yeah. So that's the idea of mission has changed. So as you can imagine, when I was hired, I was 20. What the heck did I know? I didn't have much life experience, right? And I remember going in, and my interview was in the basement of the courthouse, because Tom Collings, who was the county engineer at the time, would often get the boardroom in the courthouse. And I walked in, and there was a whole bunch of men around this table and a couple of women and a chair at the end, and I sat there, and one of those men happened to be my grade 9 history teacher that I was really intimidated by. And I had this interview, and it was crazy, and I walked out of there not feeling like, nah, whatever, like if they hire me, great, if not, I'll look for something else, right? And a few weeks later, getting a phone call from the man, his name is Steve, who has been my boss for 28 years, saying they want you. I think I laughed out loud on the phone to him, because really, what did I know? I was 20 years old. I had 1 year of Bible college under my belt. That was it. But here's what I did have. And I know sometimes we all make that excuse, right? I don't know what I'm doing. Yes, you do. We're all uniquely qualified. So I think the three big things for me at that time was I had a willing heart. I was willing to go where God led me. You know, the idea in Isaiah, hear my Lord, send me. And so I squared with that. I had a deep love for God, knowing that all things work together for good, right? So this was a journey that I was willing to take. I didn't know how it would end. Hasn't ended yet. I told my boss I'd give him 2 years of ministry, so he laughs at me too. And people laugh at me. It's all good. And the other thing that I think has really encouraged me was I had a really good group of people surround me as I was starting, because I was 20. I mean, Some of the kids I was working with in the high school were like 3 years younger than me. So I really felt like I don't have enough experience, but here I am. And they have since, one of the girls who is 3 years younger than me is a financial partner of mine. And I remember once getting together with her, and I asked her, like, what, like, seriously, like, what was it? And she said, but you know, you were that kind of cool older person who'd been through high school already, and just because you were only 20 didn't mean that you didn't have something to offer me. Okay, so, oh, I know. So those are three things that I think, as I reflect on the ministry I've been involved in, have really allowed me to stay: a willing heart, a deep love for God, and a strong and close community. You have to have good people around you. And you are all uniquely qualified too. So, first big point: mission is easier than you think. And I do have a scripture. And we know I've been in ministry 20 years now, because I was hoping to hold out for readers until I was 50, but that didn't happen. So now I wear these things to read, and the students think I look like a grandma, which I'm not yet, but hopefully someday I will be. So let's talk about this. Mission is easier than you think. So Jesus had people surrounding him all the time, right? People followed him. It was a struggle for him to be able to withdraw and go and be with his Father, right? But yet he did it. Super important, he did it. He would find time to withdraw. We would often read in the scriptures that Jesus is teaching and there's thousands of people around, and then Jesus withdrew because he knew he needed to recharge, which is really important. So he had people around him all the time, and they were, you know, wanting to learn from him and wanting to just hear what he had to say, because he was this guy. No one had ever seen a guy like Jesus before on the face of the earth, right? So here we go. I'm going to read this for you. This is found in Luke. As Jesus went on his way, the crowds almost crushed him, and a woman was there who had been subject to bleeding for 12 years, but no one could heal her. She came up behind him and touched the edge of his cloak, and immediately her bleeding stopped. "Who touched me?" Jesus asked. When they all denied it, Peter said, "Master, people are crowding around you." Like, hello, people are going to bump into you, right? But Jesus said, "Someone touched me. I know that power has gone from me." Then the woman, seeing that she could not go unnoticed, came trembling and fell at his feet. In the presence of all the people, she told him why she had touched him and how she had been instantly healed. Then he said to her, "Daughter, your faith has healed you. Go in peace." So here's the thing. Mission is easier than you think. Jesus is I'm picturing, when I read scripture, I try and picture what was happening at the time. Probably wandering through town. Maybe he had just preached. We'd have to go and read the scriptures before that. He was trying to get someplace. His disciples are with him in tow, as they always were. And he notices something. Something changes. And he stops. He pauses. Jesus never had to look far to preach the gospel, did he? Ever. And neither do we. Neither do we, right? People who, a few years ago, quite a few years ago now, this term social gospel was coined. And what that essentially means is the whole passage in Matthew about, you know, if you're hungry, I was hungry, you gave me something to eat, I was naked, you clothed me, all of that, you know, all of those things. And that's very, very important. Is very important. We get to be the hands and feet of Jesus here on earth by doing those things. But let's not neglect the message. Sometimes you don't have to look very far to see needs in people. People who are hungry, people who that you can look at them and they say a few words to you and you know that there's deficits. You know that they're hurting. You know that there's something that they really, really need that they can't get. Sometimes you don't see that though. So the social gospel is really good, but sometimes you don't see that. But I'm going to tell you today, mission's easier than you think, because the one thing that we know everyone needs is Jesus. I need Jesus. Even as a Christian, I need Jesus, right? So we don't have to guess ever if they're in need, because they are. We are. We're all in need. Mission is easier than you think. And Jesus knew this, right? He's walking, he's minding his own business. Maybe him and the disciples are going to get something to eat, and bam, all of a sudden he knows, someone just got healed. Okay, well, who was that? And really, he probably knew, right? So again, there's all those little lessons, which I love as I read the Gospels. I just think Jesus must have laughed a lot at his disciples because it's comical to me to read those scriptures. Okay, so mission is easier than you think. Oh, that's the Luke passage. Mission is closer than you think. Like I said, the woman who was just sitting at the side of the road, now she probably heard about Jesus, right? She probably heard about him. Maybe she'd followed him, tried to kind of to creep in and creep close to hear what he was saying, to maybe see some of the miracles he was performing. And lo and behold, she became a miracle. She became a miracle because she knew there's something different about this man. I'm going to just reach out and touch this cloak. Not even him, his cloak. I'm going to touch the garment that he's wearing, and I'm going to be healed. How crazy is that? That's amazing. So it is, again, closer than you think. It's closer than you think. And then back to our scripture that we've already read, the Great Commission. And I love, love, love this passage of scripture. I love it. It warms my heart and it energizes me. Sorry, you're all blurry when I do that. See, readers, right? It energizes me and it spurs me on to complete the Great Commission. But here's the thing. We're all called to mission. So let's just read that again. Then the 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain where Jesus had told them to go. When they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. Then Jesus came to them and said, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I've commanded you. And surely I am with you always to the very end of the age." So a couple things here. I think because I've been around for a little while, I have, it's a privilege and a wonderful opportunity for me to be called to be part of our national training team every spring. So in May, everyone who joins Youth for Christ goes to something called Summer Institute, and it's 8 days of intense training. And it's wonderful and encouraging, and it feeds my soul to be there as part of the training team. One of the things I always like to do with my small group, I get a small group of new recruits into our organization, and I like to read this passage because here's the thing. As we go out and reach young people or anybody, in this case young people, I tell them, the salvation of those young people is not dependent on me. I have no power to save any young person. I don't. But what is Jesus saying here? Go and make disciples. That's what he's saying. Go and make disciples. And how do we do that? Over the years, and certainly in the last couple years and recently as I've been reflecting on mission, I am convinced that mission and discipleship cannot be separated. They have to go hand in hand. That is our command from Jesus Christ our Lord. Go and make disciples. He's going to save them. That's his job. That's not my job. And what is discipleship? What is making disciples? It's simply encouraging and teaching people how to have relationship with God and be Christ-like. That's what it is. That's how easy it is. How do we do that? Well, we do life with people. Discipleship, again, is one of those words that I think people can get really anxious about and really shy away from, but it's really very simple. You do life with people. We do life with each other here, Sunday mornings, church functions, different church functions. The kids of our community come and do life via the game of soccer, right? That's what it is. That's how easy it is to do life with each other, right? Now, in my case, I wouldn't even say I was called. I don't know that I felt particularly called. I just know this is exactly what I was made to do. Jesus has placed me in a position very early on in life to do exactly what he made me to do. So if you want to say called, but I don't know that I would necessarily use that term. But I'm here doing this as a full-time vocation, right? So maybe I'm a little more intense, maybe I'm watching a little more, maybe you know, my heart is in tune a little more sometimes to what is going on around me, to the kids that are in front of me, to the divine appointments that he has set up for me every single week as I walk through that high school. Okay? But we are called to do whatever you're called to do, right? I believe everybody has a purpose and a plan. If you're a teacher, Jesus meant for you to be a teacher. If you're a plumber, Jesus meant for you to be a plumber. And how can we make disciples in those vocations that we're in? We do life with our fellow co-workers. We show care and concern. We exhibit the fruits of the Spirit on a daily basis to people. That's mission. That's mission. That's how easy it is. It really is. That's it. Right? Because you have to trust and you have to know that God the Father, who sent his Spirit, is alive and active and working in the people around you. Right? That's how easy it is. That's what mission is. And so I encourage you guys to keep doing mission. Maybe you've never thought about that before. Maybe you've never thought about the fact that you're all missionaries and you're all out there being the gospel to someone. That's what it is. Mission and discipleship. I think discipleship is huge. And that is our commandment from God the Father. Go and make disciples. Go and make disciples. So really, mission doesn't have to be something that's super hard. It doesn't. When you break it down in its simplest form, that's what it is. You do life with each other. You exhibit the fruits of the Spirit. You show Jesus to people by the way you live your life. And guess what? You're all missionaries. Not just me. All of you guys are missionaries. That's how easy it is. You know, it's mission overseas. I've never done it. And sometimes I think it's definitely challenging, but challenging in a different way. Our national director, his name is Tim, and he has a financial supporter that supports his ministry. And his financial supporter met with him, and they had had coffee. They had, Tim had given an update. It was wonderful. And this guy looked at Tim with tears in his eyes and just said, "I'm so glad you're doing what you're doing." And Tim said, "Oh, well, of course, of course." And this man looked at him and said, "You don't understand. You have to know. I believe that you are working in one of the toughest mission fields in our world. Because in North America, we don't lack very much. And how do you tell someone who has everything, guess what, you don't? You don't have everything. You still need Jesus." And Tim was taken back and humbled by that very thing. So prepare and practice for the long run. It can be quick or it can take a long time. More people that I have encountered would say their journey of faith has been a marathon. It's not the short game. There are people who have that conversion experience, undeniable, and you know, one day they're this way, the next day they're a new creation, and that happens, it does. But more often than not, we see it's a long game. And we're prepared at Youth for Christ for the long game, and it's heartwarming. So can we play the video? Is that possible or no? Okay, so I told you I'd bring my colleagues with me, and so you're going to see them up there on the screen, and this is our highlight video from a couple years ago at our banquet, or last year at our banquet, and then I'll come and wrap us up. Sound good?